This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
$1 million to Pyongyang just before the summit. Kim apologized for any wrongdoing, but denied that he played any role in what some considered an enormous bribe. Kim also ushered in a new phase in South Korea-U.S. relations. Since the Korean War in the early 1950s, the two governments were closely aligned, but once elected in 1997, Kim and his supporters were openly critical of Washington's previous support for Korea's military regimes. Ed Reed, Korea representative for the Asia Foundation, says this was in fact a great test for the alliance.
He demonstrated that a change in leadership in Korea, a transition from the more conservative side, which strongly had supported and allied itself with the U.S., a transition from that to the more liberal side, which had some skepticism towards the U.S. role in Korea over the last 50 years, that could be made, and the U.S.-Korea alliance could not only survive, but continue to be strong.
Kim Dae-jung's death comes just a few months after North Korea conducted its second nuclear test. Current South Korean President Lee Myung-bak says that full engagement with Pyongyang can only resume once it has abandoned its nuclear weapons program. On Monday, Pyongyang announced it was ready to reopen some cross-border travel for South Koreans, but Seoul has yet to sign on. Jason Strother, FSRN, Seoul.
Been listening to Free Speech Radio News. Our newscast is supported by Pacifica Radio, community radio affiliates and listener supporters. We podcast at www.fsrn.org. That's fsrn.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/fsrn. Today's newscast was produced by Bernard K. Joes and Catherine Comp. Our headlines editor was Nell Abram. FSRN's intern is Shuhei Nakayama, and our technical production team at KPFA in Berkeley includes Rose Katapchi and Scott Pham. From Bogota, Colombia, I'm Manuel Rueda.
The WBAI Local Station Board is soliciting applications from listeners and staff for the Management Search Committee, which has been formed to locate a permanent general manager and a permanent program director. Three listener representatives and three staff representatives who are not members of the LSB will be elected by the LSB to this committee. To get an application form, go to WBAI.org. Look under the section for the local station board. Applications must be received, not postmarked, received by Monday, September 7th. Either email the form to wbai-lsb-public-owner@yahoogroups.com or mail it to WBAI, Local Station Board, Box 11, Attention LSB Chair, 120 Wall Street, 10th floor, New York, New York, 10005. Thank you.
WBAI's financial situation has demanded of us that we extend our current fund drive. We will be fundraising through Wednesday, August 19th. Your participation as donors and volunteers is still needed. We, the staff, thank you for your understanding and your continued support as we continue the process of bringing this powerful voice up off its knees and back onto its feet. All here on your listener-supported community radio station, 99.5. WBAI.
I'm gonna try just a little bit harder. You know you better, baby. And you know you got it. Just a little bit harder, so I can love, love, love you more. I'll tell myself, oh, I'm gonna try. Just a little bit harder, so I can give, 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 give you more to nobody else. Jerry Ragavoy. That's going to be on our next
record, which is called I Got Them Old Cosmic Blues Again, Mama. Talking about the cosmic blues, you know what I mean, man? If you don't know what I mean, you will soon enough. So, moving on, friends they turn away. Hey. I'll keep moving on, but I never found out a way. I keep pushing to hold a babe, I keep trying to make it right to another lonely day. Whoa. This 25 years, honey, just one night. Oh, yeah. Oh. You're 25 years old. When I want you, I'll set up. Oh!
like to introduce someone from the band. Gonna do a tune, okay? This is Stookie Flowers. Come on. She's gonna do a tune called Can't Turn You Loose. Can't Burn Your Goose. What is that?
Oh, yeah. Mercy. Like that, huh? Mercy, let me hear you say yeah. Fuck, no. Ain't nobody. Everybody out in the parking lot, out in the little tents. You people out in the grass. Yeah. Grass. Let me hear everybody say yeah. Shit, no. One more time. Yeah.
He's such a fine songwriter. This is a tune of his called Work Me, Lord.
Work me, how hard it is. Trying to live when you're all alone. Every day I keep trying to move forward, but something is driving me wild. Forget me, love. Well, I don't think I'm any very special kind of person down here. No better, but I don't think you're gonna find anybody, not anybody, who can say that they're trash like I trash. The words that you can say all about me.
Turn me off, man.
I still reach out to hold on to my man. I said, Dada, 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 don't you go. No, 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 no. Honey, don't you leave me. I said, what I want to depend on Dada when I want to leave you now. Don't you go and leave. I'm talking about my man. And my man. I smell that.
And we've been listening to Janis Joplin live at Woodstock as we await the arrival and wonder what the hell happened to Anne-Marie Hendrickson and the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Did we have crossed signals? Or is there no train service from Queens? I have no clue and no answer for you at 12:28 and a half here at WBAI New York. What I may do, Bill Weinberg, regular host for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, did pre-record a program. He is on assignment. He is writing. He is going to Peru to write articles on the situation there. He did pre-record a program. Now, of course, there's no time to play the whole thing now, and it's taking forever to make a transfer of it from one studio to another. So we're going to hear another Janis Joplin cut as we await developments, and I suspect that we will either have Anne-Marie Hendrickson live in the studio at that point, or we will have Bill Weinberg via recording. At that point, I apologize for the inconvenience. And here's some more Janis Joplin. This from about a year before Woodstock. Live at the Winterland, 1968, April.
Five very, very nice people, one great big talent, big brother, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. Sorry for the delay, and I want to thank you very much. I think you're the only kind of people, as compared to like the people in New York, who could have remained as patient and as kind as you have. Well, thank you very much. Sometimes these things happen.
I got this new tune, man. Really, boss. Yeah. It's recorded by Irma Franklin. It's a tune called Peace of My Heart. Groovy.
Well, golly, ladies and gentlemen, one more song, and we will be joined live by Anne-Marie Hendrickson and the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. It's WBAI New York. Stay tuned.
Feels so good to me, and I want you to like it too. Yeah. Oh, hey, oh, yeah. Talking about my baby, talking about my man. You know, I want you, need you. I got to have it because I want you, need you. I got to have it cause it's my man, nah, nah, nah. My man, I want you, need you. I feel I gotta have your head, I want you, need you. And I gotta have it cause it's my man. Every morning I realize, wow, baby, every night. See, now, every morning I realize, I said, Janice, you know it ain't right. I'm coming home, baby. Yeah, coming home, babe.
good evening. It's 12:42 in the morning, according to the clock. My name is Anne-Marie Hendrickson. I haven't been here for quite a while. And I had a hell of a lot of trouble getting here tonight. So the show that I had planned doesn't make any sense in terms of trying to do it in the next 45 minutes or so. So what I'm going to do is play some music that has something to do with my current mood. And then maybe at 1 o'clock we'll take some calls the way sometimes we do on this show. And you can clue me into your current mood. Although, keep in mind, I'm already in a bad mood. So if, you know, I may not be the most pleasant conversationalist. But perhaps for some of you, that's going to be exactly what you wanted.
Time I love to be holding you tight. I guess I'll just go crazy tonight.
Take a look at these arms. They're the arms I'm gonna use to hug you. Look at these lips, they're gonna kiss you.
Wild nights, were I with thee? Wild nights should be our luxury. Futile the winds to a heart in port. Done with the compass, done with the chart. Rowing in Eden, ah, the sea. Might I but moor tonight in thee? If I could only get a train, you know, to get here. That was Battles Without Honor or Humanity by a band whose name escapes me. It's from the Kill Bill soundtrack. Come on, you all saw it. And before that, we had three songs by Irma Thomas. And let's see, I probably can't remember which ones they were. While the City Sleeps, Take a Look at This Girl, and It's Raining, because it is raining. There was a huge storm which interfered with my getting here tonight. I got, you know, and all this time I'm not coming here, I forgot about this aspect of coming here and why I had such a problem with coming here before. Because the trains suck. And unless you get here hours and hours early, you're often going to be late. But before that, we had one of my favorite things, Stormy Weather by Raining Sound. That's just a fantastic version of that song. A favorite of mine. And it has been stormy weather here in New York, where it's quite hot and steamy. We've been pretty lucky all summer. It hasn't really been like a particularly grim, hot, steamy summer, but you know, we've finally gotten a real New York summer in the past week and a half or so. The plants on my porch, my basil and my parsley and chives, I mean, they adore this weather. I myself, I'm not so hot on it. And, but I feel relatively positive about it simply because, you know, we, like I said, we haven't really been dealing with a lot of, like, crummy weather this summer. You know, if you want to have, live in a green area, you're going to have to live, at least for a certain portion of the year, in the weather the plants like as opposed to the, you know, the way that you yourself might like. My name is Anne-Marie Hendrickson. As I might have mentioned before, I have, you know, I co-produced this show for a number of years. I haven't been on for a long time, but I'm on now and will be on for a while, at least until, unless there's some, like, huge problem, kind of like the one I had tonight, for the next 4 or 5 weeks or so until Bill Weinberg gets back from Peru. And I had a whole show planned for tonight, a rather lighthearted show talking about my, something I don't, and of course I do all the time, but I don't usually talk about it on the air here, which is my work as a librarian, about what libraries are for and what I believe that people come to libraries for. And I am going to be returning to that later, but I feel like I don't really have enough time to deal with it now, given that I had that I came here so late. So I'm going to do something that we don't always do here, but I feel it is always sort of at least potentially, you know, a good show, which is I'm going to open up the show to you all, the listeners. Aha! If you turn down the fan, then there's less noise in the room. Hmm, who would have thought? And maybe we want more noise in the room. Perhaps that might be a good way to go. I'm going to open up, I'm going to put on some piece of music, but I'm going to, if you call the phones here at 212-209-2900, I will spend the next half hour or so talking to those of you who feel you have something to talk about. The number here again is 209-2900. Some of you I know have it tattooed on your brains, but some of you do not. It's 212-209-2900. And cut 11 on this CD. 212-209-2900, and I will talk to you all since I haven't. I did actually prepare a show, and next week you will hear that show. But tonight I feel like I haven't given myself enough time for a variety of reasons. Because I had problems in getting here to prepare to present to you the show that I had prepared for you. But this will allow us to, you know, have a conversation that, you know, I haven't been here for a while. Perhaps I can hear from you what has been on your mind so in the time that it, since I've been here last.
bottle of martini. I'm so sick I couldn't walk or sit. Since then I've not touched it. I won't bore you with tales of being greedy. I'm just into CB. I'm into CB.
Well, as Max said, there's a good way to drive away the calls. Just play The Fall, my favorite band. That was I'm Into CB from Hip priests and comrades. And the number here, if you would like to talk to me and to the people of New York who are listening, is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. And wow, before I put on the fall, there were a dozen people in line. And wow, it's true, the fall did drive away a lot of people. But 212-209-2900. Good evening.
Postmodern bourgeois skank.
Okay. Good evening. What's on your mind?
Evening. How are you doing?
Hello?
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed in what I've been working for 2 years in Washington, out of Chicago, Obama. Hello?
Hello? You're disappointed about what? About...
Yeah, I've been working for the Obama campaign since he was in Chicago.
You've been looking for it or working for it?
I've been working for him since he was in Chicago. And I have some letters that he wrote me, and I ripped them up and threw them in the garbage. Because he compromised more for the bigger business than Hillary Clinton would have. And when it was time for the primary, I wasn't exactly sure which one to vote for, either Hillary Clinton or Obama. So I accidentally didn't vote for the primary.
Uh-huh.
Obama won anyhow. Like what happened is that I basically got the wrong conception of Obama. He really looked for a person of change, but he's kissing big business, but more so than Hillary Clinton would have. And I'm very disappointed. After 2 years, getting a whole bunch of letters from him and exchanging phone calls, and I'm disappointed.
No? Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that perspective. The number here is 209-2900.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm trying. That gentleman just now, I think our problem is that we want Obama to do everything in 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But Obama has to clean up the mess that Bush left of 8 years.
Or more.
Or more. And then he can do something. Then he can stick to his program. You see, he's trying to walk carefully between the mess.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what our people do not understand. He cannot do miracles. He's not a miracle worker. He ain't working OVR or anything. So he just has to try his best to clean up some of the mess. Because he can't clean all. He was left with two wars that we are not benefiting from. You see, we have no benefit in those wars. In Afghanistan, the British left the Afghanistanis with drugs. The planting of the poppy.
Uh-huh.
And the British taught them that. Just like how they taught us in the West Indies about sugar cane and rice. They taught those Afghanis about that poppy business. You see, and America cannot clean it up. Nobody can. Back in when they killed Hussein, that was a travesty on this country because the international court should have dealt with Hussein, not American court. Bush had no right killing that man. You got his hands, blood on his hands. You see? Hussein did not do America anything. Why kill him? You see? And you said just before the program started that you're a librarian? Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. And I must congratulate you on that. Because when I was young, I was in a school, and I was told that reading is one of the best educations you can have. And I used to pick up every piece of paper, every book, and read. And until I became the librarian for the school. We had about 5,000 books of all sorts. And I would read. Where I find a word that I don't know, I'll go into the dictionary. And we had Pierce Plowman's dictionary and a few others. And I'll search for the word. You see? Mm-hmm. And that was education itself. But the youths today don't want to read. Reading is an art that is being forgotten. They look at the TV, these electronic gadgets, and that's it. But to pick up a book and read, literally read, is a kind of a forgotten art. And I must congratulate you. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thank you. I find that people actually do read quite a lot. I mean, they may not read highfalutin things, but I've been hearing about the death of the book for a long time, and, you know, people read a lot of things. Maybe they're reading kind of lowfalutin things rather than highfalutin things, but they read all the time. They certainly read a lot of books. But, yes, critical thinking is something that you need no matter what you're looking at, whether that you're looking at things on the Internet or in printed form or listening on the radio, certainly. Like, you have to exercise your critical faculties. And if you would like to exercise them and talk to me here and talk to the people who are listening, that you could call 212-209-2900 here in the studio. 212-209-2900. And, gee, it seems that talking about critical thinking has driven away every possible caller who... What, there's somebody there?
Should be.
Really? Where?
I don't know. There's no dial tone. There must be somebody there. Wake up. Number four.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. I'm here.
Hi.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. This is Anthony from Manhattan.
Hi, Anthony.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch your name.
Anne Marie.
Hi, Anne Marie. A couple of things, or a lot of things, actually. Like, people have a lot of information these days, but it's just that they're not getting the right information. Well, of course, critical thinking sorts it out, or can sort it out, but people really aren't thinking too much these days. I wanted to ask you, Anne-Marie, have you ever watched the Zeitgeist movie, the documentary?
The what?
It was a documentary called Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist movie. Have you ever watched that?
No.
Well, Zeitgeist movie, I'd like to suggest it to all your listeners and to yourself. It's a documentary based on how the three pillars of social control, for example, how religion, how politics, the government, and how the banking system controls our lives.
This doesn't have something to do with Jews, does it?
No. With who? With Jews? No.
Because this already sounds like it's sort of a conspiracy thing having to do with Jews. I mean, it's not a Jew. It's not an anti-Jew thing, right?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely, it's not anti anything. It just gets people information as to how the world is controlled. How you have the world's resources, because at the end it gets to there's a second part. The first part's 2 hours, then there's an addendum, and it gets to how the world's resources, if they're all used in benefit of humanity, how everyone would be living well, or living better. We wouldn't have what's going on in Africa with all the starvation, or even homelessness here in New York City. it's a very deep, very well researched.
Who would be controlling it then?
Who would be controlling what? The world? The world's resources?
Right.
Well, the top 1% of the billionaires.
No. Who would be controlling it as opposed to the people controlling it now? Who would be controlling it then in a way that would make it possible for us to live in a better way?
The other part, there's a movement, and it shows you how, through science, it tells you and shows you also how through science, there's this thing called the Venus Project. How through science and...
The Venus Project?
Yeah, the
Venus. What's it got to do with Venus?
Well, I don't know. The social engineer... The social engineer who did this is...
On Venus?
He's not on Venus. Excuse me. Anne-Marie...
I'm sorry. I'm just getting confused because you're telling me... I mean, this is a lot of stuff for me to take in.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me tell you. You asked me who would control. And I'm telling you that there's this project called the Venus Project and how science and technology would help solve all the problems that we have in the world. I mean, and...
Well, yeah, but I mean, what's the Venus Project? I don't get it.
Well, if you look at the film, I can't explain it to you the way that the film explains it. Just look it up.
All right.
And I urge you, you know, if you're going to be there next week, I'd like to call you.
Okay.
I sort of like a homework assignment, since you are a librarian. And you know, you can discuss it. Maybe you can explain it better than me, since you are a librarian, and you can, you know, elaborate more than I may. And the other thing, with Obama, he can't do anything, even if he wanted to. You know, anyone can. Maybe Ralph Nader might be able to do something. Maybe someone like, maybe, I don't know, LaRouche can do something. You know, someone that will really take on and wouldn't be afraid of being killed.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, look at Kennedy. Kennedy was assassinated. Why was he assassinated? He wanted to take the troops out of Vietnam. He didn't put them in. He might have put them in, but
and his brother was the biggest hawk in his administration.
Well, probably, but at the end, he was going to take on the Pentagon. Like I say, there's a lot of information that's not out there. That you have to do the research to actually get it. There's a lot. Like I was born and raised in this country. I went through Catholic school, and I studied political science all the way through college.
Mm-hmm.
But the information that was given to me is nothing like the information that's really out there. Things are not analyzed. Things are not looked at with an open mind, with an open how should I say? It's like the scientific when you have a hypothesis, how do you say this? You go through it over and
you
over.
You got to examine it
to prove that. But things aren't proven here. It's like 9/11. I mean, we never, under the 9/11 Commission, we never had a true investigation as to what happened on 9/11.
Well, I think the worst thing that happened on 9/11 is I believe that the people who will put up the World Trade Center, I think when that building was built, it was less safe than the Empire State Building. And no matter what had happened to it, it was harder to get out of it, and it was more likely that people were going to get killed when they were trying to escape from it. That is actually something that can be very readily proven. It's in public records and stuff. That's my conspiracy theory around 9/11.
See, when you say conspiracy theory,
I mean the Roosevelts had a, like a, you know, they actually changed the building code in order to put that building up. In terms of like who put a plane in the building, I believe that's open ended.
The governor that was there at the time was Nelson Rockefeller. And,
yeah, exactly. That's what I just said. It was the Rockefeller project.
The Rockefeller brothers, but no true investigation has been done into 9/11.
No, they've done a lot of investigation, exactly. And like I've said, based on my own reading, that's my opinion about it. So, Yes, my goodness, I believe we have some other calls on the line. If you want to talk to me in the, like, few seconds before we go over to the next show, it's 212-209-2900. And there's someone on the air, right? Hi, my name is Anne-Marie. What is yours?
Expecting to hear the show that's usually here, and not only, you know, have I not heard who you are and why you're here instead?
I was here for a long time. I haven't been for a while, yes.
Oh, okay. Are you the other person?
I'm the other person who used to be here for a long time.
I haven't heard your name for so long.
And I haven't been here for a long time. I'm sure you forgot that I was ever here. But
I
understand.
Now I know.
Sometimes
sorry,
I forget too. So.
No, please say your name from time to time.
Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie. Okay, now I remember. Bill always talks about you. So I was a little worried when you mentioned being there next
No, he'll
week
be back.
Well.
He'll be back in October.
I didn't know if he was traveling.
He is traveling.
He's
in Peru.
Cool. Oh, okay. So I'm glad you're here and back in your old home, and look forward to hearing you again.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Good night.
Oh, well, is that it? Okay,
yeah,
fine.
I just wanted to know who you are and if Bill will be back.
Oh, Bill's definitely going to be back. No.
Okay, well, that's great.
He's not going anywhere, believe me.
Okay.
209-2900. We have, like, what, 3 minutes?
Bye-bye.
We might get another call in here. Hi, good evening.
Hi. I just wanted to ask you a question because the other caller, not the guy who just got off, but the guy before him,
okay,
was kind of like rambling or whatever. I noticed that you kind of like got defensive when you first.
About what?
Well, you asked him, isn't going to be something like anti-Jewish or like, and I was just wondering, like, you know, like, why did you?
Why would I think that? Because I find that conspiracy theories about bankers and conspiracies often, like, you know, when you start pushing out at it, like, it leads back to some anti-Jewish thing. That's just been true throughout the previous century.
Well,
and I've spent a lifetime looking at these things and reading conspiracy theories, and it's very, very common. It's more common than not.
Not that they
all are, but it's more common than not. And that's why I usually ask it first so I can sort of get rid of that immediately so that I don't have to go any further with it.
I agree with you to a certain extent, you know, and I study these things as well. But, you know, the reason I brought this up because somebody else was on BAI, like, earlier, you know, early in the day, like a couple of days ago. And actually, it was, what's her name, Mimi Rosenberg. And she said that, you know, basically there's like I don't want to say worldwide conspiracy, but there's a, especially here in this country where like people are not allowed to be critical of anything that has to do with Jews or Israel or anything
Mimi said this on
the airways.
Mimi said this? And she said,
yeah, I mean,
did she say that there was someone who was in charge of this idea? Or
what's that?
Mimi said this, and she said there was someone who's in charge of this idea, because I'm a little surprised that that would come from Mimi.
Ah, yeah. I mean, you can go in the, because I know you guys, you know, keep archives and stuff, or, you know, or pretty much all the programs and stuff. Like, go back and listen. It's the, they were doing the fund drive the other night. She, you know, I think they played the, that documentary about, like, the, you know, like, the, basically, the point of view sympathizing, like, with the, you know, with the Palestinian people or whatever. And, you know, she basically said, like,
do you think Israelis are equal to Jews?
Do I think Israelis are equal to Jews?
If you talk about, like, you know, problems that the Palestinians have with the Israeli government, do you think that Israelis are equal to Jews generally?
Well, from my understanding, as of recently, because, you know, I have to admit, me personally, I'm African American, but as of recently, I've learned that, you know, they're not like, you know, as many Americans think. That's kind of like a misconception.
You must run into Jews all the time here in the United States, and they're not in Israel. So I mean, they couldn't be running
well,
things in Israel.
I do live in New York, so yes, you're right.
You're African American, and you're not making policies in Africa, even though you are of African descent. And I'm of European descent myself, and I don't make policies in Europe.
Right, but that's not really what I'm trying to highlight. What I'm trying to highlight is really my real question, honestly, is why does America have like this blind like allegiance with Israel? Why does America bend over backwards to, you know, just to make sure nobody messes with Israel, that pretty much Israel can have his cake and eat it too, do whatever it wants to anybody. You know, they give it, they give Israel more aid than all the countries of Africa, Africa combined, as far, you know, monetarily, you know. And people, this is something that, you know, the mainstream media has continually tried to sweep under the rug. But people want to know what's up with this. I mean, there's some sort of secret relationship going on between this nation and Israel. And nobody, and, you know, just the fact that I'm at, like, talking about this right now and asking this question, I know there's a lot of people listening and kind of like, you know, moving towards the edge of their seat or clenching their fists, you know, because a lot of people don't even like it, this type of stuff to be questioned, because it, the very fact that it's being questioned presents a threat to, I guess, you know, whatever the ideology is or whatever. But, you know, it is something that, you know, that I was just kind of curious about.
I mean, the American policy toward Israel, though, is different from, you know, people's, like, relationships with the Jews. I mean, Israel is a state, and it's in a state in a place that is, like, a big political hotspot. And, yes, it's true that the United States has a long history of backing, like, really, like, crappy policies over there and backing them up, you know, despite international, you know, dismay, because they want to hang on to some kind of, like, political power over there, and they want to make sure that they have one friend over there, you know, at all points. And, yes, it's true. And if you, you know, as I'm sure you do, listen to Amy Goodman's show, like, she, you know, I mean, it's true that BI actually has very good coverage of this, unlike much of the rest of the media. But covering, like, the extent of United States support for the policy of this one government is different from feeling a hostility toward a whole group of people. And when you get into conspiracy theories that talk about international banking and things like that so often, it really does get into hostility to Jews as a group of people, and that's a different kettle of fish.
But isn't that kind of like a you know, a theme of America, though? Doesn't everybody face hostility here? I mean, maybe
some people face more than others. Yeah, it's true.
You know, I mean, I don't know. It's just you know, I don't know. I just wanted to ask that question. I'm actually about to retire.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.